Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Our reading today is from John chapter 6, starting at verse 25, which can be found on page 1070 of the Church Bibles. So that's John chapter 6, verses 25 to 59. Jesus, the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, what must we do the works God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paula. And it's now time for the sermon, and Mike will be talking about that.
Well, good morning.
morning and a very warm welcome from me as well, especially if to all of us, but especially if you're with us for the first time. It is great to gather together. Well, we're going to be continuing in John's Gospel, so please do keep your Bibles open there in John chapter 6. And as ever, let's ask for God's help as we come to his word. Father God, give us ears to hear you this morning and hearts that are ready to receive from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come to the second of the I am statements this morning. Last week, we saw clearly and also controversially that in the first I am statement that we looked at, that Jesus was saying he was God, calling himself God. Now, the rest of the statements that we're going to be looking at in John's Gospel are more pictorial. And today is doughy in nature. Please look with me at chapter 6 and verse 35. Chapter 6 and verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, Jesus, we'll see, Jesus is not literally calling him a white sliced loaf or a sourdough bun or whatever. Instead, he's revealing more about who he is and why he came to earth. And the crowds who are listening to Jesus, they've already got a few ideas of why Jesus has come. Please look back with me at chapter 6 and verse 15. Chapter 6 and verse 15. Jesus, knowing that the intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. This is just after thousands of people had eaten bread and fish from just a small packed lunch, the feeding of the 5,000. And in response, the crowds, they wanted Jesus, God, we want this guy to be king. A king who's obviously got lots of power, and he might have to kick the Romans out and free Israel. Now, Jesus was a king, and is a king, but he wasn't that sort of king. And the crowds were also interested in Jesus for another reason. Please cast your eyes down to verse 26. Jesus answered, truly, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, because you ate the loaves and had your fill. See, as far as some of the crowds were concerned, Jesus was a walking, talking McDonald's. The food was free, and it even filled them up, which McDonald's rarely does, but you know what I mean. And they wanted more. And then cast your eyes at verse 35 again. It might be, at first glance, looking like Jesus is going to give them what they want. Hunger and thirst, a thing of the past. Is it going to be a walking, talking McDonald's? Well, we'll see later whether that is right or not. But before we come to verse 35 in detail, these verses before us, beforehand, are asking us a question, are forcing us, why should I be interested in Jesus? Why should I follow him? Is it because, I mean, he can feed me lots of food. Is it because he can be a king who can kick out the Romans and solve all my problems? Or to make it more modern, is it because Jesus can be the fulfillment in our life experience? We can find fulfillment in Jesus. Because, let's be honest, in today's world, lots of people trying to find fulfillment, find that success somewhere else, don't they? Whether it be life experiences or making and then ticking off your bucket list. Or finding fulfillment in an interesting, challenging and rewarding career. Or it might be just finding fulfillment in pottering around the garden. There's so many possibilities where people try to find fulfillment in the world today. But as we come to our passage this morning, we should be thinking, what does Jesus say should be at the top of our list? What is going to truly satisfy? And the answer is first this. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, what does Jesus mean here? And there's bread all over chapter 6. I mean, as we've already said, at the beginning there's the feeding of the 5,000. And actually, with women and children, it was probably more like 20,000 people. And Jesus has started off with just a boys' packed lunch. Please look with me at chapter 6 and verse 9. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? And the answer is far enough. Cast your eyes to verse 12. And when they had all eaten, had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Yes, there's something clearly miraculous and abundant about the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, it's so much more than that. Because after the feeding of 5,000, what do some of the people talking to Jesus ask for? Please look with me at verse 30. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? I hope you can see this is a crazy request. You might, they knew, because they'd just been there, they knew that Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with a single packed lunch. They'd seen the sign, they'd eaten the sign. And here they are. Can we have another one, please, Jesus? It's like a young child who's just watched a juggling show. And then at the end of the show, they've asked the juggler, I'm not sure you can juggle. Can you do some more juggling, please? But these aren't little children, are they? Who easily get confused and can make such errors. These are adults. I want to see another miracle. And like then, today, some people make the same claim. They'd say, I'd believe in Jesus if you would just do a miracle right here and right now. Well, Jesus has done plenty of miracles, but he's not a performing monkey. And he knows that for some people, perhaps even lots of people, seeing a miracle will not make them a Christian. And we'll see why later. But we can see it with the crowds. They saw the miracle. Oh, we want another one. But the crowds, they wanted to push for another miracle, so they carry on with verse 31. Verse 31. Our ancestors ate manna, the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now this is a reference to God rescuing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt thousands of years before, and a true story that is told in the book of Exodus in the Bible. And God fed his people in the middle of the desert. There was no food available, but he fed them miraculously for 40 years with bread from heaven. A bread that the Israelites knew came from one and one person only. Not Moses, but God. But then we read on, verse 32. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So here's Jesus. I'm the bread of life. And yes, he is talking about giving life to the world. But first and foremost, it's a claim from where he's come from. Where's Jesus come from? He's come from heaven. God the Father has sent him. See, Jesus, in calling himself the bread, is claiming something about his origin and who has sent him, God the Father. It's a heavenly origin. It's a divine baker, if you like. God the Father and God the Son working in tandem. And the crowds don't like this. Verse 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And such grumbling, doesn't it continue today? I mean, some people, they're happy to talk about religion. They might even be happy to talk about Jesus somewhat. But as soon as the conversation moves on to, well, Jesus is from heaven. Jesus is divine. It then starts to become uncomfortable. And so often the subject is quickly moved on. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he's putting heaven on the agenda. His very own coming from there. You see, when Jesus was born, when Jesus was born in that manger, that very first Christmas, it's not as if Jesus suddenly appeared, that he didn't exist beforehand, because he did. He had existed in heaven. And he came down. Literally, he's a man that is out of this world. And therefore, will we listen to what he has to say next? Because next he says, whoever comes and believes in me. And that's, again, begin with a contrast. Please look back with me to the crowds in verse 28. Verse 28. This is the crowds. They asked him, what must we do the works God requires? What must we do? It's a routine question for religious people. How often do I need to go to church? How often do I need to pray? How generous do I really have to be? I mean, the rich young ruler that we get told about when Jesus met him asked the question in a very similar way. He said, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? What boxes must I tick off? And Jesus answered, verse 29. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Or as Jesus says in verse 35, come. Come to Jesus. Believe. Believe in Jesus. This is not a tick list. This is an embrace with the whole of our heart and the whole of our being. You know, I mean, can you imagine a couple, an engaged couple, they're preparing to get married and they're sitting down thinking, what is marriage about? And they say, right, yeah, well, the bins come on a Wednesday, so every night someone's going to take the rubbish out on Tuesday night before they're collected. And another thing that needs to happen is, well, you need to be, it's about being tender and affectionate to each other at least once a day, twice on Sundays. Or it's about going on holiday together at least once a year. And the tick list can continue, couldn't it? And many of those aspects might be part of a healthy marriage. I'm not sure about the bins, but you know what I mean. But you can't turn a marriage into a tick list, can you? You can't turn belonging to God into a tick list either. We come to Jesus. We believe in him. We trust in him. We lean on Jesus for our salvation. We know we don't need to impress him or to reach a certain level of godliness before he accepts us. We just need to come to him to believe. It is Jesus' work, not our work, Jesus' work, that very first Easter, that makes salvation possible. I mean, our work, our job isn't even work, is it? What's it to do? It's to come, to believe. But as important and as essential as salvation is, it's not just that, because we're to lean on Jesus on every part of our life. I mean, it might be as simple as, you know, I mean, during the week, you might be picking up your kids from school or your grandkids or some friend's children from school. You know, I mean, an everyday, mundane sort of task. And as you approach the school gate, I need to lean on Jesus. Praying, Jesus, you know how tired I feel. But I want these kids, as I pick them up, I want them to know love and acceptance and safety and interest from me and so much more. I want them to see Jesus in me. Leaning on Jesus. Now we have to be careful here not to turn this into another tick list. I mean, I leant on Jesus when picking up the kids from school. I leant on Jesus when cooking tea. I leant on Jesus before having that tricky conversation with the neighbour. I mean, all those are good things to do, but don't turn it into a tick list. It's just about coming to him. It's a heart thing, a head thing, a soul. Jesus says, come, believe. Or to put it another way, Proverbs chapter 34 and verse 8 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And many, many of us, most of us here are Christians. We know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also know how sporadic our coming, our leaning on Jesus can be. It can sometimes become become less and less regular. Why not pray this week for yourself? Perhaps the person sat on your right, the person on your left, the person behind you, the person in front of you. Help us to come to Jesus, not just once in a day, but time and time again. And as we do, expect to be fed by the bread of life, by the very one who came from heaven. And then lastly, and certainly not leastly, that's not a word, is it? But anyway, you know what I mean. Thirdly, never go hungry. Never go thirsty. Verse 35 again. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So what does this never hungry, never thirsty mean? Well, I think it has something to do with satisfaction, but a very particular type of satisfaction. Please cast your eyes forward to verse 40. At this, the Jews began to grumble about Jesus because he said, I'm the bread that comes from heaven. Nope, sorry, I've just read the wrong verse. Sorry, I meant 39. No, I did mean 40, I need some glasses. Right, let me try verse 40. I just read verse 41, didn't I? Right, verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Or verse 47. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. What does believing in Jesus make possible? Simple, isn't it? Eternal life. Or as Jesus said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. A life that will be truly and utterly satisfied. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more pain, no more sadness, no more short attention spans. Just 100% satisfied in Jesus. That is to come. But do we get a taste of that in this life? Well, I think we do, don't we? As much as I love my family, my church family, my friends, please don't be offended, because the times that I am most satisfied to the core of my being is when I'm totally focused on Jesus. Perhaps it's while praying, or in the middle of a Christian song or hymn, or when you're in God's word, perhaps in a sermon or during the Bible study, or when you're having a quiet time. Or it might be when you're just looking at a beautiful part of God's creation. And the Holy Spirit is there, and your eyes are open to Jesus, and you are just satisfied. Now, those times will come sometimes. Sometimes there will be long gaps. And even those times, they're only a taste of the satisfaction that we'll have when we see Jesus face to face. That's the satisfaction we should truly yearn for. Now, we have to be careful here, because some churches put a huge emphasis on experiencing Jesus in this life, and they expect satisfying spiritual experiences on a weekly basis. And I think that's a mistake, personally, because Christians, yes, we can sometimes experience satisfaction in Jesus in this present life, but it's not a big emphasis in Scripture, even in our verse today, verse 35. The focus, clearly, in the context is eternal life. Jesus says, come to him, believe in him. There will be no more hunger, no more thirst. There is life, but the emphasis is on eternity, on heaven. Remember, when Jesus said, I am the bread, even that is pointing to the fact Jesus has come from heaven, the very place where Jesus came from. And therefore, where should this verse be taking our hearts and minds? Not to necessarily spiritual experiences today, but to being with Jesus forever. Heavenly reality, the eternal reality. But let's be honest, we can so often be like the crowd in chapter 6. We can so easily focus on full stomachs, on our political leaders making our lives better, on the physical, on the temporary things in life. I don't think I've ever come across a Christian who thinks too much about heaven and spending eternity with Jesus. I mean, if I'm honest with myself, I spend way too much time thinking about a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. And never mind the satisfaction to find satisfaction elsewhere other than Jesus. Oh Lord, may our hearts cry out, Jesus, I long for that day then when I shall never hunger and thirst for you ever again. to be truly satisfied in Christ. But this isn't just an individual thing. What about the church? We live in a world where some churches talk about Jesus to some degree, but what do they long for? What are they satisfied with? For some, sadly, it's power in the world. Or status, you know what I mean? Being acceptable to the world. Or wealth, supposedly to the glory of God, but sometimes you see these buildings and all that goes with it. And is it to the God's glory, or is it because they're just like having nice stuff? Come to the truly satisfying Jesus. And verse 35, one last time. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. These words are also an offer, aren't they? An invitation to whoever is ready to come to Jesus. It doesn't matter what your life has been like, what you've done. Jesus knows it all. Come to Jesus. It might be for the very first time. It might be for the thousandth time. But he is ready to welcome you. Just like us this morning, to have a moment's quiet. Perhaps in the silence, just read verse 35 again. And in the quiet prayer, do some business with Jesus. Then I'll draw us together in prayer. Father God, you made us. You created us. You know what will truly satisfy us. Thank you that true satisfaction is found in knowing and loving you and your Son, with the Holy Spirit living within us, taking us back to Jesus, day by day, hour by hour. Help us to come to Jesus, to lean on him, to find sweet satisfaction in him.